text today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Grade 7. I started attending a new school and I made a new bunch of friends. Friends who introduced me to the wonderful world of shoplifting. I found out that I was actually pretty good at it. I would go into corner stores and department stores and put things under my coat, in my pockets, and walk out and enjoy the fruits of my larceny. But actually, I wasn't as good at it as I thought, because one day, when I was in Max Mill, the store owner caught me walking out with an O. Henry bar that I had not paid for. I thought that he would give me a stern talking to and give me a little lecture on morals and send me home saying, "Don't you ever come back to my store, young man." But to my horror, he called the police. And the police officer took me home to my parents. And I had to confess my sin to my mom and dad. And they took me, after wringing out of me confession about which stores I had gone to and what objects I had snitched, repaid all those stores for everything that I had taken, and then I was grounded for a long time. Actually, just ended last week. Now that I've told you this story, are you thinking, okay, people, we have to have a congregational meeting. We have to get rid of this guy. We can't have a common criminal, a thief, pretending to be our pastor. We can't be subjecting our children to his influence. I don't actually expect you to do that. I think you're going to say, that was something that happened in his past. Something that he has learned from and is not continuing. I think that we hear this kind of story and receive it as of the grace of God. That we have things in our past and we have events that we have engaged in that we are not to this day proud of. Maybe we are even ashamed of. We confess our sins all the time. Here at Bethel, it's part of our liturgy. It's part of our expectation that when we come to church, that we are a people who will confess our sins together. And when we pray at home with our family, many of us before meals, we pray, and it's this typical part in the prayers of our people that we also pray for forgiveness of the sins that we have committed. We want our families to know. We want our kids to know. We want to keep reminding ourselves that we are a people who are not yet done being transformed into the kind of people that we want to be. The sins that we confess are sometimes corporate, as in we own them together, and sometimes they are personal, and we confess them to God and we leave them there. Now, if you heard me say that as a great Southern boy, I was really into shoplifting, do you say then that the person that I am, say, oh, Adam, I know who he is. He is a thief. He is a person with that history of stealing things that are not his. No, you say that I am a person who has that as part of his story. It doesn't define me. And when we think about the sin that we confess together, when we are here as a body, or when we're together as our families, or when we're each in our private personal prayers talking to God and confessing those dark things inside of us to him, we're saying to God, this is what we have done. But we know that those things do not define us. If you are in the mall, and ladies, there's a really good-looking guy. Man, he is really special. And you look at him and you go, ooh, I like that. Does that make you a lech? Does that make you an impure person, an adulterer in your heart? I don't think so. We are not defined by our sins. Lewis Meads, the Christian Reformed professor who taught for many years at Calvin and at Fuller Theological Seminary, wrote a book called Shame and Grace. And in his book, he said that people feel shame for the things that they are. When you are caught in theft, and when I was caught by that shop owner and brought home by the police, I felt myself to be a thief. And I was ashamed because of what I felt myself to be. Another way I could have felt about it is I could have felt guilt. Guilt is what you feel because of the things that you do. So there's this distinction I want you to understand, that what you are and what you do are different things. You are a person who commits a sin. You are a person who looks and has inappropriate thoughts at a beautiful woman who walks by. That means that you are committing a sin, and that you are committing the the virtual sin of adultery, but that does not define you as an adulterer. What we are learning in this Bible text is that people are defined by what God has said to them, not by what they themselves do in their own brokenness. This has application to church. I mean, here we are on this first Sunday of the year. And we are hoping, we are looking forward. Our attention is on the fact that we are a forgiven people and that we are moving forward. We've got a whole year ahead of us. A whole year of divorce care for kids, helping children to get their feet under themselves as their parents are on this broken path. We have Alpha coming soon, where we're going to help people to understand who Jesus actually is. And we pray, develop a new relationship with Him, where they know Him to be their Savior. We're having Crazy Love going to be starting, where we're going to be encouraging each other to rediscover the passion for God that drives us forward. We want to be excited about the faith. And we're going to have lots of Sundays of worship in this coming year. We're going to have so many different ways of serving the Lord through small groups and children's ministries and activities that help others. And well, you know that this is a church that is truly alive. But what defines us in all of this is not that we are people who do things. What is your definition? Is your definition, I am the person who goes to church? I am the person that contributes to potlucks. I am the person who leads a Bible study. I am the person who is part of cadets or gems. I am the person who fills a chair in the sanctuary pretty well Sunday after Sunday. Those are things that we do. And those are good things. We don't want to denigrate the good things that we do. But those things do not define who we are. Who are we? According to the scriptures, according to the passage that Marilyn read with us, being a Christian is about being a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God, those who have received mercy. When are you a holy nation? When are you part of a royal priesthood? When are you those who have received mercy? The answer is 24/7. You are all of those things every minute of every day. In the middle of the night, you wake up and you are part of a royal priesthood. You're shopping for new tires for your car, and you are part of the chosen people. And you are those things when you're at worship. And you are those things when you are engaged in ministry. Now, when we get mixed up on this, and we think that our identity comes from what we do, then we start to get into trouble. Say, well, because of what I do being the definition of who I am, then what we do had better be absolutely perfect. That preacher better be pretty interesting and very entertaining, because this is my definition. The music in the worship service better be exactly how I like it, because it is what defines me, this experience. The activities of this church better be exactly what I want, and they better minister to the people to whom I want ministered to, or maybe I'll just leave. Maybe I'll just go away. Because I'll find my definition someplace else. If that is what happens to us, then we miss out on opportunities to really live and be the people of God. We would be one-dimensional Christians. Yes, going to church is important. And being part of the ministry of the church in 2016 is very important. But it does not define who we are. We want to go to church, and we want to be engaged in ministry, and we want to be part of fellowships, not in order to find our definition, but in order for who we are to be expressed, to be a natural outflowing of what God has done within us. God has transformed us. God has made us into a people who are His own. And He has placed within us these passions and these concerns and provided the opportunity for ministry together and individually. And we do them because of who we are. A people who have been brought into a relationship with Christ and made into a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God, those who have received mercy. And when that happens, when we live as that kind of new creation, then we are being the complete package. Complete at work and at home and at school and at play and at church. We are being the kind of people God calls us to be. Now, if we were inclined to make resolutions for ourselves as a congregation, we might want to look beyond the standard kinds of resolutions where, you know, some of us are going to say, I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to get more exercise this year. I'm going to quit smoking this year. I'm going to spend more time with the kids this year. I'm going to start being nicer to my spouse this year. Those are all good things. But the resolution that I would like us to make together is that this year we resolve to see ourselves for who we are. Who we are in Christ. And that we live that realization in every dimension of our lives. That professionally, we will conduct ourselves as the chosen people. And when we are playing on the playground, when we are playing hockey, we will say, we are a royal priesthood and I play hockey as a priest of God. And when we're talking with our neighbors, we don't have to be always talking religion. But the very way that we conduct ourselves is testimony to the fact that we are people who have received mercy. I'm convinced that if we align ourselves to the will of the Holy Spirit, and this is what I believe the will of the Holy Spirit is, that we will find Bethel Church to be a church in 2016 to be one where God demonstrates His power. I think this will be a church where people come hungry to know the Lord. I think this will be a church where people come to experience fellowship deeper than they've ever seen before. I think this is a place where they will come to be part of something powerful and good and beautiful. You are a special people. By definition, you are beautiful in the eyes of God. And it's my privilege to be part of you. And it's your privilege to be part of us. Because God has been transforming us. So I would say, get ready, 2016. Get ready for the Church of Jesus Christ. Because we're on the move. And we are going to be faithful to who God is and true to who He has made us to be. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, what we read and what we come to understand only comes to fruition by the working of your Holy Spirit. You have transformed us. Now we need to understand that that has happened. And we need to embrace your power and let your mercy and might be revealed in us. We pray that you will help us to resist the whispering of the devil, who wants us to say that we are not much, that we are insignificant, that we can do nothing special in this world or for the kingdom of God. Lord, we declare those to be lies, and we claim you and your promise, and we'll walk with you and serve you in this year to come. Amen.